Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Glory to God. Well, let's look at this. We'll do a quick recap, and we'll see what we have, and then we will jump into it. We are obviously teaching on righteousness. Glory to God. It is one of the most pivotal things. I know when I went to Rhema, I'd been in the church for 20 years, did not have an understanding of righteousness, did not know what it meant. Absolutely, the word was just Christianese. I mean, it had nothing for me. And by the time I got done with that first year down there and taking that class, my life was truly changed. I'll tell you what, the principles of righteousness, the subject of righteousness, the power that is revealed through the Word of God, it will change who you are. It will give you that authority and that boldness, and it'll cause you to walk with the Lord. And so our golden text that I've been using is Romans 1, 16 and through 17, and it says, "For I am not ashamed." We are not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "But the righteous man shall live by faith." And so that's the scripture the Lord had me pull into. We're going to talk about how faith, obviously faith and righteousness, they dovetail into each other very, very close. And what righteousness always shows is it's an increase in knowledge of the Lord. It's an increase in boldness of who we are. And we start walking with authority that we did not have before. And so we grow in it. So we had four principles of righteousness. Number one was know who your heavenly Father is. Number two was know who you are in relationship to Him. Number three was know your enemy. And number four was how to worship. The only reason I go over these every single time is because if you will build them into you, they will change your life. I mean, I'm doing it. I was discussing it with some others, how the Lord is having me take these very principles and push them into my company, into my business. And this is how I'm starting to run my entire affairs. And so the Lord is showing me how to empower, embolden, and create people that will walk with knowledge and they'll walk in unity. And that is, what else do we want? Come on. I mean, it's called teamwork. It's called teamwork. We're all going to work together. And then number three was know your enemy. Number four was how to worship the Lord. And then we understood that sin consciousness, what it did to us, and we're going to touch back in on some of this. We understood what happened in the Garden of Eden. The first time sin showed up, we realized that they hid from God. They ran away from God. We looked at how Peter, when the Lord came to him, he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinner, I am unworthy." And he pushed back on the blessings of God, and he tried to push back on Jesus himself. And Jesus was just trying to show an expression of the Father to him. We have a choice whether we are going to believe or not believe this word of righteousness. As in the golden text there, I could call it, it's to everyone who believes that these things come. And it's from faith. So what you believe and accept as truth, what you're going to walk out on, people accept certain things as truth. Some people accept that working out is good for your body. Some people don't. Some of them believe it so much they're motivated and moved by it. Some of them believe it in its knowledge, its mental assent. Sure, it helps you. But they're not going to walk in it. So where do we stand in the church? Are we going, yep, righteousness is good. Or are we going to walk in it? Because as we found out, when we were going through, we found out that when we grow in righteousness, we have to practice it. And it will come in contradiction to your flesh. It will have moments of pain. It will have times of trouble. It will challenge you. to walk in righteousness. And so we have a choice. We know that we can be born a God, but not know God, because we don't take the time to know him. We know that Jesus was a perfect representation of the Father upon the earth, and so we can study the life of Jesus to know the Father. He said it many times that he was revealing the Father. We know our right standing, our righteousness, cannot be earned by our works. They are filthy rags. Does not matter how good. All you do, and Kirk Cameron, and I forgot the other gentleman, they do so well on when they're talking about to get people saved. They talk about the Ten Commandments, and then they just basically, so have you ever lied? Well, yeah. Okay, so you lied. Did you ever cheat or steal? You know, I mean, you just go down through some basics, and pretty soon people are like, okay, well, you've already broke a few of these. Did you ever covet or want something that somebody else had? Because you find very quickly that the law that was set, and that's only set to show you how true and good God is. It's not set to condemn you. It's just to set to show you how far away from him we are. It's a calling card that says, come up. And he is the one, through the work of his son, and we're going to get into this tonight, that pulled us back and said, you're on this level. You are righteous. You've received right standing with me. Jesus died, and we have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so that our righteousness was given to us on the substitutionary work of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So, did Jesus become sin? Was he made sin for us? For he, that is God, made him, that is Jesus, who knew no sin, we know he lived a sinless life, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Other versions say that he was made sin for us. Jesus did not sin, but he was made sin. We have to realize that Jesus was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It was so important, this whole subject of righteousness, that God gave up his son. And we realize that Jesus, because of his understanding of the Father and what he was to do, Jesus willingly allowed his crucifixion. The devil did not put Jesus on the cross. Did he not say that he could have called angels down? He did. Jesus allowed himself to be put on the cross. The Romans did not put Jesus on the cross. Jesus put Jesus on the cross. He was a lamb led to the slaughter, and he allowed his blood to pour. It rained out for us. If God and Jesus thought this thing was so wonderful, righteousness was so important, we should carefully consider it. And the benefits, this is where we ended, the benefits of righteousness must be absolutely amazing. They're worth somebody's life. And so we're going to look in here at the benefits of righteousness. So that's where we're going tonight. The basic benefits. We got about five of them. We're going to blow through them, kind of. We'll see. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this night. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is our teacher. We thank you that he brings things to our remembrance. Lord, we lay open our hearts tonight. Forgive us of our sins. We thank you, Lord, for that. We forgive those who trespassed and sinned against us. Lord, we lay down every hindrance, every bitterness, everything tonight. We set it aside. We take our cares, Lord, and we cast them on you. We are not picking them up. Father, I thank you that the peace of God is going to rule and reign. Lord, that your word tonight will bring forth nothing missing, nothing broken in their lives. That you are the restorer. that you are the one that recovered that which was lost. Father, we thank you for righteousness. We thank you for teaching us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, basic benefits of righteousness. We go back to our story in Genesis, what was lost. So Genesis 1:26 says, and this is just creation, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have," and this is a word I want you to focus in on, "dominion." Dominion. "Let us have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So we see that the Lord gave man dominion in the garden. And that was one of the things that was removed, that was sold out when sin entered the garden. Dominion was removed. But if we go to Romans 5:17, Romans 5, verse 17 states, "For if by one man's offense," that is Adam, "death reigned through that one, much more those who receive abundance of grace." My God is over, always, every time. He's an overabundant, overcoming, too much, more than enough. That is my Father. Every time. We have to know our Father. We have to know our Father. We're going into it tonight. Glory to God. "Who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign." And that word reign is like a king. That word is reign and have dominion. We will have, through the gift of righteousness, we will have dominion in life through the one, Jesus Christ. That dominion that was lost in Genesis is restored in Jesus. And so we look at this here. We're going to grab a couple things. In order for us to reign in life, though, we must give orders. Nobody has a leader that does not give an order. To reign in life, we must give an order, which means we must use our vocal abilities to issue a decree into our lives. This is how you start to rule and reign in righteousness. When we use, and I got a couple points here that I wanted to make. When we use Jesus' name, everything that God has dominion over must stop and take notice. That's in the name of Jesus. Now, when Jesus died, he didn't take dominion over man. He didn't take dominion over us. He took dominion over all spiritual things, all supernatural things. He took back the dominion that was given to Adam. You have dominion on this earth. But he did not. That is witchcraft. When you start, he gave us free will. He did not remove your free will. So the name of Jesus does not take away somebody's free will. If you try and invoke the name of Jesus over somebody's will, you just stepped out of the Word of God. We can pray that they have their ears open. We can pray for laborers to go across their path. We can pray that the Holy Spirit will prompt them and lead them. We can pray, but can we actually take dominion over a will? No. Not in the name of Jesus. And people are like, "Oh, I'm going to do this in the name of Jesus." No, 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 no. Once again, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the air and darkness. I think I got that in the Passion Translation later. And so The battle, what Jesus' name gave us, was everything in his name. So where did sickness and disease come from? Satan. That's under the name. Where did depression, where did financial stress, where did mental anxiety, where did all anything you want to start naming in that realm that comes from Satan? Yes, that dominion was yours, but I just want to make sure to state that we do not get to use the name of Jesus over a man or woman. It's just another one of those bricks I like to throw once in a while. Anyway, the name of Jesus, anyway, this is what the Lord, the name of Jesus can only be used when you're subject to it. The scriptural illustration of that is the seven sons of Sceva, where they tried to cast out a demon in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, and they kind of got ran down the street naked. That's kind of what Satan's done to a lot of the church, because they haven't subjected themselves to the name of Jesus, so they don't get to stand in the power of Jesus. So when they proclaim the name of Jesus, they look beaten. They don't have right standing. They don't have authority with the Father. And so we find that the name of Jesus applies and works for those who are subject to it. And that's why when somebody says, they can be a sinner and they can just fall on their knees and say, Jesus, forgive me. They subjected themselves. And as soon as they put themselves in subjection to it, everything he had just came right into that situation. And he changes a life. Remember, I wrote this down. If Jesus didn't conquer it in his death, burial, and resurrection, you don't have authority over it in his name. This is just statements on some of this dominion. Jesus did not conquer man. His battle was not against flesh and blood. In this dominion, we find the salvation of our bodies, our souls, and the works of the enemy. There is nothing, say nothing, nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. So right now, you can say with full confidence, I'm loved of the Lord. I'm loved of the Lord. My Father loves me. He'll reach into your situation. He'll reach into your relationship. He'll reach into your life. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. There is no weapon formed against us that can prosper. There is no mountain high enough, river wide enough, or valley dark enough to stop him. We can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It can't even remotely slow down the power of God, is how the Lord had me write it. There's no relationship, past, present, or future, that cannot be remedied by the righteousness of God. We need to let go of every hurt, every pain, anything that's come against us in our lives. It doesn't matter who our father was, our parents, our upbringing. If we hold on to any of those things, we're denying the power of God that he can restore us to the place that he called us to. He's called us to be co-heirs with Christ. He's called us up. Nothing in our life can hold us back except for what we let hold us back. He is the only father that we need. Some of us say, well, I didn't have a father, I didn't have this. Doesn't matter. He is the only father we need. He is the only relationship we need. I need them. That is the most selfish statement in a marriage or dating relationship. I need them. No, you don't. You need the one that provides all your needs. Jehovah Jireh is his name. That's who you need. You don't need, and I had this in, and we can just go off unction, but whatever. You don't need a cup of coffee. You don't need a cigarette. You don't need a bottle of booze. You don't need a prescription. You don't need anything. You don't need anything because he provided everything. I need a new car. I need a house. I need clothing. No, 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 no. What you need is the Lord. And we'll get into all these things. Glory to God. We're going to jump ahead. That's why I have to read notes. It keeps me slow. I know. I did say it, though. He is the provider. No drug, prescription, or otherwise can do what the Father desires to and has already provided to us who believe. No physical pleasure, no sinful desire, no accolade of men. Nothing can amount to what the Lord has provided in righteousness. No matter what has happened in our life, He can and will restore us. We must walk in forgiveness, grow in our love walk, and see the goodness of the Lord that brings men to repentance. Hallelujah. Growth. His desire is for us. His plan has always been for us. We just need to say it, and we can just say it. God is for me. God is for me. Who is there against me? Who? Well, the enemy. But we kind of know about some dominion things. We're not quite onto all that yet, but he's under our feet. Who is there against us? A stain. That's all that's underneath you. Just a wet spot on the bottom of your shoe. That's the only thing that is against you. He was made sin for me. That's something to say. Christ was made sin for me. He was made sin for me. I have His righteousness. Yeah. I have His righteousness. These are just things, and this is right out of the scripture. I believe. Are you believers? Because if you're believers, all things are possible. All things are possible to him who believes. This is the thing. That's why we can't be held to anything in our past. He's called us out of everything that we were. He's not holding you to anything that you were. He said, you believe in me, I will call you out. I will bring you up. I will establish you. I will plant your feet. I will walk beside you. I'll prepare the way. I'll show the steps. I will be there with you. That's what he's going to do. Hebrews 10. We'll look at this real fast. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 10. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the blood of Jesus Christ once for all. We've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. How many times did he have to die? Once. For how many? All. Just by one man's transgression, Adam, death reigned. So also by one for all. We'll keep reading here. Verse 11, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. This is talking about the old covenant. This is what they did. Every year they would go and they would remember all their sins. Now this is what Satan does to you. He wants you to remember all your sins. But see, the blood of bulls and goats, it said, which can never take away sin. But what does the blood of Jesus do? It washes, it cleanses, it removes, it separates as far as the east is from the west. We're going to get here. I'm going to get ahead here. But this man, that is Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, one sacrifice forever. But I sinned again. One sacrifice forever. All sin. He was made sin. He took it all. sat down at the right hand of God. Verse 13, from that time waiting till his enemies were made his footstool. For by one offering he was perfected forever. He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us after he had said before, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Can God forget? So, if we are going to be like our Father, what are we supposed to do with our sins and our lawless deeds? Our past is gone. It does not matter. From this point forward, right now, just say it. I'm righteous. I'm innocent. I'm clean. I'm washed. I'm forgiven. Yeah, come on. You feel that? Sit in it. That's righteousness. That's fellowship with the Father. You'll be able to walk into his presence. You'll sit down there boldly and you'll just crawl up on his lap and say, Daddy, got a question for you. Just want to talk to you. Just need to spend some time with you. You got some wisdom for me? You got some things you want to impart? You want to teach me anything? Thank you. He can forget. He remembers no more. That's very important to us. So who is the accuser of the brethren? Satan. So when those thoughts start coming back to you, and you already put them under the blood, who are you listening to? Satan. How do we rule and reign? We have to issue a decree. We have to send out a rule. We have to make a proclamation. So when we speak, we can put our authority into action. I have no sins or lawless deeds. I'm free. He remembers no more. We do not want to stay in our unrighteousness, no matter what our memory is. No matter what our memory is. We must be like God. We exalt the Father. Now, this is interesting. I heard a guy talk about this one time. He was talking about how a little kid, he was visiting at a house, and this little kid ran up to him. He says he's like three to five. And the little kid crawled up on his lap, and he said, hey, look at this. And he pulls up his pant leg, and he shows him, and he had wrecked on his bike, and he rips open his Band-Aid, and he starts showing this, owie, there we go. It's a kid. Come on, I gotta use the word owie. He starts showing his wound, and the guy goes, it was actually kind of serious. I mean, it was a good fall, good scrap. But the kid started opening it up and showing him how deep it was, you know, and stuff like this. And he said the Lord spoke to him. And this is what, and I want to bring it out. What did that kid, by exposing his pain, his wound, his thing, what did he do to the healing process in that? Hindered it. What if we open up our hurts and pains all the time that happened in our past? We don't heal. We find ourselves stagnant with some. I remember when Caleb had all these turf burns from the AstroTurf on his knees, and he wasn't taking care of them. And it had been weeks. It had been enough time that the head coach brought up to him, you need to get those looked at. These scabby, nasty, they were good. I mean, anybody want more descriptive terms? Adjectives is what I think I'm looking for. Anyway, they were, and we said, no, we need to Let's get some peroxide on there. Let's clean it. Let's put on like some Neosporin. Let's soften it. Let's let it start to get pliable. And they healed within, 3 to 5 days. It was fast. But they'd been there for weeks, these nasty things. And I work, obviously, in construction. Maybe not obvious, but it's in construction. Anyway, there we go. That sounds good. But drywall and paint. And I know, especially in hanging, even the taping did, but hanging would do it too. That sheetrock, when you're hanging all the time, will dry out your hands. And if you get a cut, it just keeps drying, and it keeps drying. And I've watched splits start to develop, and instead of healing from a little paper cut, the next thing you know, you got something that's separating almost down to your bone because it keeps drying. Why? Because I didn't bandage it. I didn't take care of it. I didn't let it heal. But we have people that go, do you know what they did to me? Do you know what I went through in that church? Do you know what? And they are always ripping open their bandages, trying to show you what had happened because they don't believe in the future their father's painting for them. That's what it is. They don't know their father. They don't know that it's not the pain, the hurt, the circumstance, the situation. I'll be honest with you. I don't care if it's physical abuse, sexual abuse, mental abuse. I don't care what you went through. Everybody has something in their past. Everybody has something in their past. And it's not going to hold you in your past. You're righteous. Those things, does not matter how you were treated, doesn't matter how you were raised, all those things are behind you. You are not bound to come out a certain way. You're not damaged goods. You're free. You're free. We don't care what the bad report is or the lie of the enemy. We exalt our Father. We exalt what He says about us. And we stand with that authority and proclaim it over our future. We praise the solution that He's given us. We stand in our position of dominion and give the orders. We rule and reign in righteousness. We have dominion and ability. That was our first benefit. Number two. Let's go back to Genesis. We got to keep looking at what we lost to find out what we get. Because is God the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is he the one that never has a shadow or variance of change within His ways? Okay, just check. So, it's really easy when you go this route because you just go, well, what did He say in the first place? You know, and you go back to that. Genesis 1, 28. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you. It shall be for food. Anybody like food? If you don't, you shouldn't be here because you should be dead. But anyway, everybody should like food. Just saying it right now. That's a scriptural thing right there. There's people that they get deceived and they don't think that they want food. I'll just be honest. I got family members that just crawled out of the hospital, 3 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago. Yeah? They went down under 80 pounds. They were shut down. They went into number one clinic of the U.S. or whatever, and they're only for absolute diet. They were so bad that they went into a eating rehab place, and when they started feeding them, their body shut down because they hadn't been introduced to food, and they started to die, and they were 2 weeks, 3 weeks in the hospital, ICU, lockdown, 20 years old, 19, 20 years old. Anyway, wrecked life, believing lies of the enemy. Deceitful lies of the enemy. Food is good. Verse 30. Also, to every beast of the earth and every bird of the air and everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life. I've given every green herb for food, and it was so. Verse 31, then God saw everything he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. The Lord wants you to partake and enjoy. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. But what is it there for? To eat. He's our daily bread. You know, we start looking in on this. He tells us all the time, partake and eat. He provided everything that was necessary to sustain life. So this goes back to that whole Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. The only need I have, he has provided. And so God created everything to partake and enjoy. As God created all that was needed for successful life in the garden, Christ provided all that was needed for successful life in the supernatural realm. Everything that was needed was taken back and provided by Christ. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Therefore, do not worry. We're going to listen to, those are red in my Bible, this Bible, my other Bibles, it's not always red, but I know that's Jesus. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? I remember when I was first learning about faith, this is fun. That was a vulgar saying that went through my mind. Anyway, just so you know. It was something about a pot that you had to own and you didn't have a pot to... Anyway, see, now you guys all did it. Man, that was just bad. Anyway, some of you that didn't get it, well, there you are. You are sanctified people. But anyway, I remember... back in the days of my... Well, at that time it was a $500 car that was like Hunter's Orange, that it had the stereo stole out and... everything out of it and stuff. And I remember living in my, it was a 1969 Rolla home. That was the house that I owned. I made $4.35 an hour. I remember that. That's all. That's where I started. But I owned my own place and I had my own car. And that's about all I had was my car and my place. Food was another thing. And I remember there was days where I'd be just like believing the Lord. And this is just, it would be just interesting because you drink water. You have water. You have top ramen. You pray for hot dogs. You eat a lot of tuna fish and mac and cheese. We have a thing called ketchup skitties, which is basically ketchup on top of macaroni because that's cheap. And you eat these things, and you just, this is life, okay? And you just believe God. And I still remember I would believe God. I'd be like, Lord, I just wake up and I'd be like, man, I just want to. I would love a Pepsi, just a pop. And I'd go to work. I'd make that statement. And sure enough, somebody at work or something, hey, you want a pop? I'll buy you one. He met me in the littlest things, over and over and over. But you know what? I know I'm righteous, and I was never begging or forsaken or begging for bread. He always filled my cup, no matter what. I remember wanting to go out to eat so bad sometimes, and sure enough, somebody would come along and say, I'll buy you lunch. It's God. And he just ministers, just poof, just like that. Just like that. He just speaks right to your heart. He loves us. Verse 32, for after all these things the Gentiles and young believers seek. No, just that's what I was. But for your heavenly Father knows. What parent, especially, I got growing boys. Some of you guys a lot of you have lived through this stage of life. You're looking at your kids and their legs are doing this, and you're like, that feels pretty awkward going to school right there. You know what I mean? I mean, you look at, you're like, no, I know you need pants. And you're looking at their shoes and their toes popping out, and you're like, no, I know that. Your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. Crud. You think you're better than him? He's orchestrating this. That's why he allows you to go into those trials. Because you need faith to overcome the next statement. And he's growing you in it. And he talks about how those are weak in faith. And those are strong in faith. And how you grow in faith. And it's through faith and patience you obtain the promises of God. And he has a plan for you in the future. So that's why you can rejoice in a tribulation. Because right now you are counted worthy. And he's given you all power and ability to walk through that valley of the shadow of death. And you'll walk out on the other side, and you will be stronger. Your faith will be emboldened. Your right standing with God, you will know more of who it is because you tested the bounds, and the next thing that comes to you, you'll walk through that, and you will level up again in the spirit, and you will know more who the Lord created you to be in the first place. He called you, and he said, you look just like Jesus to me. You open the door of salvation. At the end of the hall, there was only one thing that you could be when you walk out of it, and that is just like his son. It's all the doors in the middle that you can take and delay and take time to get to that finished work. But he looks at you out the other door of salvation. He didn't look at you what came in. He looked at you immediately when you stepped through it. He only saw his son, and he said, welcome. I'll put a ring on your finger, and I'll put a cloak on your back, and I want you to come in, and we're going to slay the fatted calf, and we are going to party. We are going to enjoy and partake of all the goodness that I have. These are my things. I'm opening up the storehouses. I'm pouring it out on the table. Come in. Run through the rooms. Check the mansion. See the streets of gold. Find a pearled gate. It's all there for you. Take and enjoy. 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 His yoke is easy and his burden is light. If you find yourself in a place, then you're out of righteousness, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. We have a sin consciousness problem if we are not seeing ourselves in our situation as an overcomer. He's given us all things to enjoy. All things to enjoy. I got to finish reading. Verse 33, glory to God. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What did he hold back? Nothing. So why aren't we living in everything he has? His mind is at peace, or is at perfect peace. His mind is stayed on thee. If we are stayed on the Lord, if we are in him, if we are walking with him, when do we get ruffled up? We find ourselves sleeping in the bow of the boat in the middle of a storm. And when we're woken, you may be a little bit, I mean, it sounds harsh to calm the storm and then turn to him and say, why don't you have faith? Well, he had issued the decree. He issued the decree on the land on the other side of that sea. He said, go to the other side. In that decree was all the provision that was needed to get to the other side. Doesn't matter how high the waves are in the middle. Doesn't matter how hard the wind blows. If you have the decree of God, you're walking through or rowing through whatever to the other side. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Got enough I'm going to tell you this right now. You guys had sufficient trouble today. It's all you needed. It's all you needed. You're here tonight. Day's over. That's dark outside. Day's over. You're like, let it go. Cast that care, right? If you casted it, that means to throw it so far it's far removed from you. You can't even go find it. Cast it like God takes care of your sin. It's a sea of forgetfulness. I threw the care and I picked up the sufficiency of the Lord and just walked in it. Nothing else left. All these things. Benefit number three. Benefit number three, we'll go to Genesis 2:15. This is we're going to get a little bit more into the fun. I don't know. Anybody know that I like to fight? I don't know if you know that yet, but there's just something in me. I mean, I don't care if it's underwater BB stacking. I need to beat you. You know, I don't care what it is. If I have to pick on children to make myself feel better, I may do it. Okay. I'm just saying, I love competition. I love winning. I love growing. But when it's in the Word, when I know that He's constantly there with me and I can't fail. Oh, it's so good. Genesis 2, verse 15 states, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Well, now, that's interesting because this is a perfect garden, and he said to keep it. Keep means to guard or protect. You usually say things like keep it safe, keep it, anything that you're going to keep, you automatically, if they give it to you and they say, here, keep this, what do? It automatically always goes to a safe, secure, protected place. So he gave a command in the garden to tend, which means, first of all, he gave him a job, work, and keep it. Now, if you got to keep something, if you have to keep something, it reminds me of putting out drinks and stuff with little kids around. Because you kind of have to keep those things. Or for some reason, Jessica, any of your stuff ever been? Never. That's what I thought. Her kids have never touched one of her. No, she never had to try and keep anything, whatever. But to keep it means that there's something or someone out there that's going to come after it. That's a warning of what was to come. They were just warned. Snake in the garden. Something's there. They were just warned. I told you to keep it, didn't I? That's how I'd tell my kids, you know. Where's your hunting knife? Oh, no, it fell out. I said, keep it. You know, that type of stuff. That happens. Anybody ever lost a hunting knife? Anyway, yeah, there we go. Thank you. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, that's honesty. I know it hurt to say that in front of everybody, but you're forgiven. Anyway, to keep it, the Lord took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and keep it. It means there was an enemy. We have an ability to tend and a responsibility to keep what the Lord's given us. We have the ability and the responsibility for what the Lord's given us. That's why righteousness hurts. That's why it's growth. That's why it takes practice. That's why it's for the mature. That's why it's not the milk. That's why it is solid food. Because it takes work to be righteous. There's a responsibility that comes with this message for you to pick up yourself all the time and tend to what you've been given. That's why the Lord said, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. That's why he always has it on our side. He's sitting seated forever in the heavens. He's resting. He's done. His work is over. He's complete. He made the move in the chess game. The next one is ours. And as soon as you move, he's already got it covered. Move again. Nope, move again. It's dancing. Just dancing with the Lord. Anybody? No, never mind. Okay. Some of you will like that. No, I'm just joking. Let's look at James 4:7. You guys know this one. Everybody knows. Well, not everybody, but we'll go with it. James 4:7. What's the very first word there? Well, not the very first. Well, mine's therefore. So let's not go with the first word. But submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If we submit first, you will automatically resist second. When we take the place that the Lord gave us in righteousness, as soon as we step into that place of submission, you are automatically in resistance to the devil. You just opened up all of heaven to come down and operate on your behalf. All authority, all power, all might, all dominion, every name that was named was given to you with the name of Jesus, and you just stepped into that. And so when you speak the name of Jesus, remember everything has to stop and listen to that name. When we are submitted to God, we are automatically resisting the devil. Being a doer of the word makes you a submitted follower. Simply put, it's doing. We're doers. Say, I'm a doer. I'm a doer of the word of God. I'm a doer. May have to just walk around saying it for a while. I'm a doer and I'm righteous. I'm a doer of the word of God, and I'm righteous. I've been declared innocent. I'm washed. I'm free. I'm not bound. All those descriptions of sin in the epistles, that you're seated, that you're in darkness, that you're bound, that you're in a prison house, that you're, you know, all those things, you're none of them. You're free. You're called, you're chosen, you're anointed, you've been appointed, you've been given direction, you've been given fellowship with the Father, you've been given a place at the right hand with Jesus, your brother, you've taken on all spiritual things. We sit seated in heavenly places. We are saints, not sinners. We'll jump to number 4 because I'm running out of time. I got to go faster. Number 4, Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. We had the ability to fellowship with the Father restored to us. That's what sin, they lost. They lost that fellowship. They lost fellowship. I'll explain it to you this way. What Christians typically, this is the devil, this is the lie of the devil, we'll break this one down. What Christians typically have in their lives, is they will understand the relationship with the Father. And they understand it. Like, everybody has a family member and has been, at some point in the time of that family member, they know what good fellowship is with them, and they know what destroyed, distracted, they can know when the fellowship is off. Something's bothering them. Something's not right. There's a disjointed disunity. Something got in the fellowship. The Lord never kicks out a Christian. Once you take on that name, and he says, you believe in me, and you take it on, and you are now a Christian. You are a believer. You have accepted Jesus. You now have, you get all the fellowship that's with it, and you're in relationship with him. But what happens is sin will distort your fellowship, but he has not sent you out of his relationship. He kept his name on you. That's why he said, I want you to come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy, that you'll grow thereby. He's calling you back because he hasn't removed your name. He didn't say that you're out of heaven. He didn't kick you out. He's calling you back. But fellowship with him had been broken. And so when you make it right, when you make fellowship right and you put it under the blood, fellowship is restored, and now you find yourself in a place. That's why when we come boldly to his throne of grace, God's ability, we obtain mercy. But mercy triumphs over judgment, which means that you were in a bad place going to his throne. You didn't need mercy going to the throne room of God unless you were in a bad way. Why'd you need mercy? Sin. That's it. The only reason so he wants you. You sinned? Get to the throne room. Get to the throne room. His grace is sufficient for me. It was more than enough. The blood of Jesus was enough. Get to the throne room. Get to the throne room. Obtain mercy and let it triumph over the judgment. It's a lie of the enemy. He wants you. Satan doesn't care if you have a relationship with the Lord as long as you don't fellowship with him. If you don't hear his voice, what are you doing for God? You're distracted. You're feeling unworthy. You're living in sin consciousness. You're disgruntled. You're embittered. You're unforgiving. You're just like the world, but you know about Jesus, and you're just like the world, so what's he care? You're not doing nothing for the kingdom. He wants you to stay there. Remember what you did wrong. But if you go to the throne of grace and you obtain mercy, now you're going to stand up. Now you're going to act like a king's kid, a son and daughter of righteousness. We have ability to fellowship with the Father. The more you understand your position with the Father, the greater your fellowship with him will be. What sin stripped Adam and Eve of in the garden with the Father is no longer our problem. He restored fellowship to us. We do not have an inferiority complex. We do not have low self-esteem problems. We do not have an unworthiness problem. We do not have a fear problem. Fear is just your senses coming to the conclusion that we don't have what it takes to handle the situation. That means you agreed with the enemy. Because my God always sees me through. But for some reason, you're like, oh no, my kids aren't coming home tonight. Where'd that thought come from? Oh no, there's a doctor's report. Oh no, my business. Oh no, the stock market. Oh no, fear. You're not relying in the ability that's been given to you. I'll say it again. Fear is just your senses, your mental senses, coming to the conclusion, which is a belief. A conclusion is a belief. You accepted it. You're believing it. You're now going to act on it. A conclusion that we don't have what it takes to handle the situation. We have not been given a spirit of fear, though. We've been given a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. We are not cowards. We are not timid. We do not draw back. We press on towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We put our hands to that plow. Well, it's getting hard. It's working. Well, I remember when the disciples were rowing in a storm too. Different storm. But they're rowing and they were tired. They got to the other side. I think that's where the madman of Gennesaret was. He came out. He gets relieved. Demons go into the pigs. Pigs go into the sea. They get out of here. They get back in the boat. And they were already tired. And they rowed back to where they came from. I'm not saying it's not hard work. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying it's a physical body. It's a mental, a soul, and it can be disciplined because we have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound, self-controlled mind. I'm not going to lose my mind. I have the mind of Christ. Why would I lose that? Come on now. Number five. We'll hit this real fast. Well, I'll just kick it real fast. Number five, a benefit of righteousness, no sense of guilt. Whew. Come on now. You know what you did last week? My mind may have a memory of it, but if I check with God, he don't remember it no more. How much disbelief is that? Lord, remember this? Lord, remember this? You asked for forgiveness, and you're telling him? I mean, that's just arrogance. It's pride. It's exalting yourself over what he said about you. That's what it is. Because you're trying to tell God how he's supposed to think about you, and he told you what he thinks about you. Back to principle number two. Who did God say you are? 1 John 1:9. Oh, baby, come on now. You got to get here sometime. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. Say, he is faithful. Say it like you mean it. He is faithful. He is faithful. Oh, come on now. What if somebody tries to shake you up? What if somebody tries to take it away from you? No, he's faithful and just. We haven't even touched this. This is something that the Lord's been dealing with me and for a while now, and some point it's going to come out, but about the justice of God, justified, just. He is just. He wrote it in his word. He held himself to his law. He's not going to change. He is just. He's dropping the gavel on the problem. He's declared it that way. He is just. And what is it? He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What are you holding on to? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. Say, I'm forgiven. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on now. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Breastplate. Come on. You're righteous. It's right there. Breastplate. You're going to war. It's right there. What's it protecting? Your heart. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are not a sinner. You are not unworthy. You are worth the precious blood of his Son. Yeah, my closings stink. We'll get better at them. We will go into how Paul related it to his listeners and everything next week. But let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that we are continuing to learn and to grow in righteousness. We thank you, Father, that you sent your Son, that Jesus, you agreed with the Father that you would come to this earth, and you allowed yourself to be set upon a cross, and that you let your life's blood be drained out, and that you became sin for us. We thank you, Father, that through that, you opened up a gate into heaven, that we, Lord, can be made your brother, your sister, that we are now righteous, we are forgiven, we are innocent, we are washed. Your blood has come and purged us. It has wiped us clean. We are just innocent. Thank you, Father, that we are learning of you. Holy Spirit, continue to teach us as we walk through our ways. We know that the enemy is going about as a roaring lion, and he's trying to make vulgar, violent statements against us and coming into us. But Lord, we thank you for the authority that's been given to us in the name of Jesus, and we will take it, we will stand on it, and having done all to stand, we will stand, and we will see that the devil is resisted. We will submit to you. We will walk in victory. We thank you, Lord, that every day is a day that we can rejoice in. It's a day that you have made. It's a day that you put in every physical blessing, every spiritual blessing, every mental blessing. You have poured yourself into every day that you created, and it is a day that we will rejoice in, and we will be glad because we know whose we are and of whom we are. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.